Good morning. It's time for Daily Chap. The text is Luke chapter 12, verses 11 through 21. The Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke chapter 12. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' He said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What makes you anxious? What keeps you up at night, keeps your heart thumping in the middle of the night, and keeps your eyes from falling in sleep? Jesus touches on a couple of our anxieties and fears in our reading for today. And all of this passage is, in fact, governed by some things he actually says just a few verses prior to our reading. He says to his disciples, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who can kill the body, and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell." This is the key when looking at our fears and anxieties. Do not fear or be anxious about the things that can simply and merely hurt the body. Do not be fearful and anxious about merely earthly things. Consider the things that we worry about, that we're anxious about. Who's president? Who's running the political show? The Twitter feuds, the Facebook fights, all those sorts of things. Mostly they're simply things that might hurt the body, and there's not even a guarantee of that. Do not fear such things. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Our God, who is himself an all-consuming fire. In our text for today, using this kind of framework here, Jesus addresses an anxiety and a sin. First, he deals with the anxiety the disciples have over what they're going to say when they get dragged before kings and rulers and authorities and those in the synagogue, those in the church that would harm them and that would force them to make a confession for what they believe. And Jesus says to them, "Do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." And indeed, the Holy Spirit did this very thing. We see it all throughout Acts as the apostles are called before kings and rulers, as Paul has to stand before rulers. What do? They speak and witness by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus accompanied their witness with signs, as the book of Acts testifies. Now, what about you? Is the fear the same? What will you say in that day when it comes time to give an answer for the hope that you have? The Holy Spirit does not inspire Christians these days in the way that he inspired the apostles and the prophets. But you do have those words of inspiration. You do have the words he gave to the apostles and prophets. So use them in this moment of anxiety. When you don't know what to say, use the word of God. Point to Scripture. Do not be anxious. You have the word of God. The very word that he spoke to humankind, that he speaks to you, and that he speaks before the world. And the Holy Spirit will use your speaking of his word in his time. It doesn't depend on you. It is entirely his word to create faith when and where it pleases him. Next, in the second half of the reading, Jesus addresses the sin of covetousness a particularly American sin. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. After he says this, Jesus tells the parable of the rich man. He had a surplus of grain, so he decides, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I'm going to fill them up, and then I'll live a long life of relaxing, eating, drinking, and being merry. Honestly, it sounds a bit like retirement, doesn't it? The rich man has spent his life scrimping and saving, and now he's ready to sit back on his laurels and do nothing. Jesus, in addressing this sin, is actually addressing the rich man's attitude. It's not that he has possessions per se. God, in fact, is the one who gave him these possessions. Rather, Jesus addresses his attitude about them. That is, whose they belong to, whose possessions these are. And in so doing, Jesus speaks a word of warning to every Christian, retiree or not, about the possessions that he has entrusted to us. Notice how self-focused this rich man is. He thinks the crops are his own. He thinks the barn that stores the crops are his own. When he's considering what to do with these crops, does he consult with his family, with his congregation? Does he even speak to God? Now, what does he say? He says to his own soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. You relax, eat, drink, and be merry." He has no concern to use what God bestows for the good of his neighbor, but merely to live a life of leisure and ease. This encapsulates much of our culture as well. Our culture does not work to live in service to the neighbor, but they work in order to make it to the weekend, or to make it to retirement, or make it to some other thing that they want to do. They're going to store and save. Maybe they're going to create this massive app, sell it for tons of money, and then they can do nothing, right? That's how our culture looks at this. But this is not the attitude of the Christian. Jesus warns us of this today. We do not accumulate wealth in order to live lazy, indolent lives. Rather, we steward what God has given in service to our neighbor. All that we have is His. We use everything, whether in life or in retirement or whatever it might be, to live in service to our neighbor. Jesus closes this reading with an interesting phrase. He says, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." What does it mean to be rich toward God? Well, it does not mean giving God our wealth as though it were ours. Right? It's His anyway. He gives it to us, right? Right? Rather, being rich toward God is, in fact, the same as worship. It's the same as our entire life as His child, receiving in faith what He gives from His hand. And the greatest treasure He gives comes right after we confess our sin of covetousness and our anxieties. He grants forgiveness and new life. In the waters of baptism, He makes you an heir of heaven, at which point all the treasures of this world are meaningless. Are meaningless garbage in comparison with that. And then something amazing happens. In fact, you become God's treasure. If you look at the later in this gospel in Luke, he writes the famous lost things chapter, right? Where the lady loses a coin, you lose a sheep, you lose the prodigal son. And the point of these parables is not God telling you to go out and find people. The point is, you are the lost coin. You are the lost sheep. You're the prodigal. In Matthew, he talks about buying fields and finding pearls and selling everything to grab these. You're the pearl. You're the treasure. And God gives everything that you might be His, that you might become His treasure, that He might have you. The one who is rich toward God, therefore, acknowledges the giver of every good gift, receives from His hand all that He gives, and lives in service. It is only from this confidence that we can then fear the one who could send us to hell, but in fact will not, because we are His children, heirs of His kingdom. In the name of Jesus,